Welcome to Pro-Life in 7 Minutes, the show where I spend over 20 minutes teaching you how you can persuade a pro-choice person in only 7. I'm your host, Catherine Burrow. I'm the co-founder and executive director of the Abortion Dialogue Academy, also known as ADA. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So it's been a little while since we last published a podcast episode. I've had several people ask me, when is a new episode going to come out? Well, we got very busy with our annual fundraiser, and then I had a baby. So I've been on maternity leave, and it has been a very crazy past 6 months. So today's episode is going to be a little different. It's not going to be about apologetics. It's going to be about what it's like to work for the Abortion Dialogue Academy, or ADA. And that is the nonprofit that sponsors this podcast. So our mission at the Abortion Dialogue Academy is to end abortion by changing our culture. And we do that with our 7-minute argument. And our goal is to get that argument out in front of as many pro-choice people as possible. So there's kind of 3 legs to our mission. The first is what all of you are very familiar with. That is this podcast, where we teach you how you can use the 7-minute argument to persuade the various pro-choice people in your life. But the other 2 legs of our mission are our youth presentations and our college conversations program. So in our youth presentations, we present this argument at high schools, middle schools, and youth groups. And then our college conversations program is where we have college volunteers we train to go out and present this argument to their peers. Now, those other legs of our program are overseen by our programs coordinators. Our programs coordinator's job is to do the youth presentations and then help train, oversee, and work with our college volunteers. So today's podcast episode is an interview with our Nebraska programs coordinator, Connie. So the way the programs coordinator position works is it's a position that's geographically based. So Connie is responsible for our youth presentations and our college programs in the Nebraska region. However, we are looking to hire programs coordinators for other regions. In fact, our ultimate goal is 51 regions total. So as of this filming moment, we are currently hiring a programs coordinator for the Arizona region. However, I wanted to make this podcast episode evergreen, so to speak, because we have every intention of hiring programs coordinators for other locations in the near future. In 2022, we raised the funding to plant 2 regions, that's Nebraska and Arizona, and we will continue to plant regions as quickly as the funding comes in. So even if you're listening to this podcast episode well into the future, if you listen to this and you think, wow, I would totally want to be a programs coordinator, that's a job I would want to do, well, we're probably hiring for it, just in a different location. So to figure out where we're hiring, go check out our website. It's www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/careers. I will link that in the show notes below as well. We typically post jobs in January, and then we try to hire by the summer months. So if you're in that January to April, May range, check out our website. We probably have a position open. And then I will also post a bonus episode in this podcast every time we're hiring. So make sure you turn on that bell notification. You're subscribed to this podcast if working for us is something that is of interest to you. Now, maybe you're not interested in working for us, but you would still like to help us with our expansion. Well, there's several ways you can do that. The first is to share this podcast episode with anybody who you think would be just really a great fit for this position so they can become aware of it. And the second is consider making a charitable donation to our organization. Our programming is entirely funded by private individual donors like yourselves. And so when you give to ADA, it enables us to get the 7-minute argument in front of more pro-choice youth and to plant more regions and persuade more people of the importance of being pro-life. So With all that being said, today's interview is going to be with Connie. She's our Nebraska Programs Coordinator. We're going to talk about what it's like working for ADA. So for anyone listening to this podcast who might be considering applying for the position or is just curious to know more what the day-to-day work is like, Connie and I are going to chat about all of that. Connie, well, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited that you're here. I've got several questions for you just about the position, what it's been like working for us, but we'll just kind of talk and see where this interview goes. Yep. So to start, why don't you just tell everybody what drew you to the job, why you ultimately decided to apply for it?
I mean, any participation in like the salvation of souls is obviously my number one goal. And so this was just a way to do that, whether it's through the formation and like education of the pro-choice kids on the college campuses, or if that's through the saving of babies, you know, that's ultimately the goal of this organization. And I think just knowing I would get to meet a lot of really awesome, motivated, holy people was also another motivation. And I knew it would push me outside my comfort zone. And so it's something I've always wanted to work on is public speaking and having these controversial dialogues with people. And it's always exciting for me to have some effect on people who don't think like me, you know?
So with your job, you get to persuade people kind of two different ways. The first being obviously the youth presentations where you present. The students fill out a survey before and after. It's anonymous. And so that's how we're able to tell how many people we persuade. And then obviously on the college campuses, you're having that one-on-one conversations working with the college volunteers. In your first 3 months working with us, you persuaded 96 pro-choice kids to be pro-life. How did that feel? I feel like most people, when they first start a job, they like make coffee for the first 3 months and like try to find the printer.
Yeah, it still is surreal. You know, I mean, it is exciting and you try to not let it be just another day at work. You know, you try to let that really sink in and have a heart full of gratitude for that persuasion, you know, but in a way it still is surreal.
Why don't you just describe kind of briefly for the listeners, what kind of is your role and responsibilities? If somebody was maybe interested in applying, kind of what would they be doing?
Every day is different, I would say. No day is the same. So I like that about the job. I would say the majority is organizing and actually presenting the youth and parish presentations. 50% of it is probably like emailing and networking and calling and trying to get those organized and getting our name out there. And then just working with the college kids and actually training them on the campus to master our specific apologetics method and keeping those teams going. And then another part of my job, if it comes to the November months, is to plan for the annual fundraiser. So we'll have our third one coming up in November.
I know you talked about how it changes week to week, but kind of if you were to give people a sense of like, when are you working? What are your hours?
You really set your own schedule. So if you want to start your workday at 10 a.m., you can start your workday at 10 a.m. I personally am a morning person, so I like to start early, you know, by 8 at least, and then be done by hopefully 4 or so. But if I need to like go do something during the day and go do it and then come back and work a couple hours at night, I can work Saturdays if I want, or I can just do it all during the work week. It's just a nice blend of like, I have this job and I work the 40 hours, but it doesn't overcome everything. Some days I'm home all day, just organizing and emailing and scheduling things or doing follow-up calls. And then sometimes I'm on campus all day with the students doing outreach with them. And then randomly I'll go do presentations, whether that's like traveling a couple hours and going to a small little farm town, or parish presentations on Sundays. So there's such a variety in this job. It really depends on when the presentations are. You kind of schedule your work day around that.
So you spend kind of the week, you'll be planning out your evening and your weekend stuff, but you do set your own schedule. So like if you have like a wedding or something in particular that you know you need to plan around, that's a flexibility of the job, with a couple of exceptions like our annual fundraiser. But there definitely is some stuff that you have to do in the evenings. Like you've got to meet with the college kids once a month in the evenings. Their meetings are typically at 9 p.m. because they are also not morning people. So you have to be able to hang with that, you know, once a month, late night. And then additionally, our parish presentations and maybe a donor thing, those tend to be on the weekends. We do a lot of our presentations. I would say 95% are on Sundays, would you say, our parish presentations?
The parish ones, yeah. Unless if there's a Knights Council, then it's on a random night of the week.
I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to work on Sundays, which I totally get. I think it's important that we don't work on Sundays. The thing for us is that because we're in a ministry, priests work on Sundays, pastors work on Sundays, and we do some stuff on Sundays as well, because that's typically when most people want to do their volunteering. When I was doing the presentations, I would just only do the presentation on Sunday. I don't typically do any other work other than that. You got your commute there. The presentation's an hour, maybe a little bit of chatting afterwards, and then you're back home.
Sundays, you try to make it a day of rest as much as you can. So a two-hour presentation isn't, setup included, is not a huge deal, you know?
You want to talk about like what some of the benefits are of the job?
I love that I get to work with different types of people and different ages of people. So the parish presentations, I'm with the older crowd typically. And then the youth presentations, I'm with middle school, high schoolers, and then teachers at schools. And then the college program, obviously with college students. So I love that there's a variety of people from different walks of life. And I think too, just growing personally and professionally, this job helps in both of those areas. Oh yeah, another benefit. I mean, I have unlimited time off, so obviously you don't abuse that privilege, but it is nice just to be like, hey, can I have this day off? And then your boss is like, yeah. And she doesn't even question like why you need it off. So that is a huge perk. And then if I'm ever need to be out of town for something, I can still work. Like I just take my laptop with me and then work from wherever I'm at.
That is true. Cause it's like you have the events that you schedule that are like, you got to be there at this time, at this location, dressed up, ready to go. But the rest of it is a lot of it's like, you know, you're coordinating things and you're making phone calls and you could be doing that on a beach, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. My philosophy as an employer is like, we want outcomes. Like we want more people hearing these arguments. We want more parish presentations, more youth presentations, more college volunteers trained that are out there and talking to people. And the hours it takes you to do that is like not really the most important to me. What's more important is that like you're getting the work done. And so my philosophy with the 40 hours is I don't want you working more than 40 hours because I know that ministry work is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you could very easily, if you wanted to, fill every single second of your entire life with this work, but you'll burn out and that's not really sustainable. So the 40 hours, I don't know how closely you track your hours, but my goal is like, you know, you're not working more than 40, but if you need to work a little bit less, as long as you're still hitting your goals, you're still getting these presentations scheduled, you're still doing the work. We're not clocking every single hour and counting it type of organization. Do you still track your hours? How do you do it? Just like for your own work-life balance?
Yeah, I do track my hours just so I have peace of mind that I'm like, I'm not selling the company short, you know? So I just log it in my phone on an app and then see how many hours I get. And yeah.
What's your like favorite part of the job or the work or your favorite parts?
I love seeing the wheels turn of people whose mind, like the moment where they realize that the fetus is a person at fertilization. I just love seeing that moment or like the thought of that potentially becoming a reality in their mind, you know? So that to me is my favorite part.
It is an addicting moment. We've had many volunteers. Have I told you the story about Parker, one of our UNL volunteers, where he was like not really sure he wanted to volunteer with us. And then he persuaded someone and you could just see it, like it clicked. And he was like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this. And he's talked to like over 100 people now.
And he does such a good job.
Yeah, they all do. I just think our volunteers are so cool. It's funny because I'm more removed now. So like for them, I'm like, I'm the leader of this organization, but I'm like, I'm your fan. Can I have your autograph? Yeah. Like, I just think like what they do is so cool and they're so brave. But yeah, just to be so young and so convicted on this issue. Okay. Well, least favorite part of the job. I'd be curious what your answer is to that.
Follow-up calls.
Oh, the phone calls. You know, what's funny is I was talking to, we have a guy who's helping us fix our, like our Salesforce where we keep like all of our data, all that super fun backend stuff. And he's a millennial. And so we were talking about how I was going to communicate with him. And he's like, well, you know, not a phone call. Cause us millennials, we do not like, picking up the phone and calling people, which is not how other generations feel. I'm going to ask you put you on the spot question. How would you describe me as a manager and the culture of ADA? And I'm also curious what your answer is because I do a lot of like business stuff and they're always talking about how you need to have like your values, your adjectives that describe your work culture. So I made 5 and I have absolutely no clue if you feel like these are our 5. I found it yesterday because I was at the gym lifting and it was like next to where I keep the notes on my phone of my lifting. So I was like, oh yeah, I guess those are our values. So clearly we take them very seriously organizationally, given that you've worked for us for 6 months and you've never heard of them. But I'm curious, yeah, what would you say? What am I like as a manager? And then what is like the culture of ADA?
Yeah, I guess two words I would say that came to mind to describe like how you manage the company. I would say, one, you're very trusting, and two, very knowledgeable. So I always feel like you trust my judgment and you like respect my opinion. And so if I have thoughts, you want to know them and take them into consideration. So that's an important part for me to feel like you're not just always telling me what to do, but I'm a part of the decision making in some degree. And then two, I always feel like if I have any question, you're able to answer it like very strategically and eloquently, I guess, in a way that forms my mind in a way that I can be really kind to pro-choice people and actually see them through eyes of love and compassion. I think I've learned so much from you of just about how to approach the pro-choice culture. And two, also three, actually, I think you're very patient with me and the learning curve, especially with technology stuff. So I've appreciated that. Technology is not my skill set. And so I've
I don't think anyone we hire,
patience.
It's going to be their skill set. We hire like, we're looking for like the charismatic people go out there. And technology is not my skill set either. Do you know how many times you've sent me something and I'm like, Jacob, figure this out. I'm like, hand it to the husband.
Yeah. And then another thing that came to my mind was that just the culture of ADA, I feel like, is very lighthearted and hopeful. And so I think it's easy to become hopeless in the culture of death when you're facing it, confronting it every day. And in a culture of like relativism, where it just feels like you can't even make any traction in your effectiveness or fruitfulness. And so I always feel encouraged and hopeful and ready to face this, the culture of death, because of the way that you have formed me and the culture of our organization. I mean, it's basically just you and me, but then the way that you formed me has allowed me to even be really positive with our college kids. And like, even just as simple as keeping the meetings like fun and lighthearted and like sharing stories, like we can share difficult things that have happened on campus, but it's always encouraged to share like the positive things. And I think that's lightheartedness, hopefulness, a culture of trust.
You kind of said some of the words I wrote down, but I liked your words better than my words. Are you curious what I did? Whenever
I am curious.
So I wrote down strategic, which you did talk about, because I feel like we're very focused on like, how are we going to persuade as many people as possible? And I think this gets into the trust. Like, I'm very much like, look, like we know what we're trying to do. We're trying to get out there. We're trying to persuade people, but I'm open. Like, let's find a better way to do things. And so that's why I'm always like, hey, you're on the ground. You're out there. You're seeing things I don't see. You've got a different brain than mine. Mm-hmm. Let's get that feedback. Let's improve what we're doing. Let's make our processes better. Let's make our program more effective. And so I think that's probably where some of that trust comes in. You did say the word strategic though. I put persuasive, which you said as well. You know, we're definitely really focused on how can we be as persuasive as possible? Because, you know, you're kind of persuading a lot of people with this job. You know, you're trying to persuade the pro-choice people, but you're also persuading, hey, college volunteers, do you want to come out and talk about a controversial topic on campus with us?
Yep.
Normally, a lot of them start as a no, but we try to persuade them to do it. Yep. You know, we're persuading people to donate, you know, to fund this work. So we're able to get it out there to people, persuading schools to let us come in and speak to their youth. I then put professional, which a part of me is like, are we professional? I mean, I feel like we're very professional at our events, but.
Yeah. I would have to think about that more. I mean, I
think
feel
we're lighthearted
like,
and hopeful more than we're professional. So. I put fun, which you put as well.
Yep.
And then I put friendly.
Yeah.
But I like yours better. Okay, I'm changing our values that were so important to us that I had them written on some notes app deep in my phone next to my weightlifting sets. I don't think that makes us professional, actually, as if I'm saying that right now. But it does make us fun. I love hopeful. I think hopeful is, you're right. So many babies are dying. It's such a heavy topic, but I do feel like there is so much hope. And so I do think that's something that I really talk about a lot. And we see the hope. Mm-hmm. What type of person do you feel like would really thrive in this job?
There's many types of people that could fit this job. So I guess I just want to say, I did not think I would fit this job when I first saw the qualifications and I felt very underqualified. And so I wasn't actually going to apply. And so starting with that, just saying, if you feel like any draw to this job, but you feel extremely underqualified, to just have a conversation with Catherine, because that's really what opened my heart to it. If you're intimidated or you just feel like there's parts that you're attracted to, but don't feel like you could actually do it, don't let that stop you from applying.
You should also let me be the judge if you're qualified or not. Cause I was like, oh, she's definitely qualified. I would like to hire her. So
yeah. Yeah. That's a good, yeah.
I'll tell you if you're qualified or not. Yeah.
But yeah, I think someone definitely who's passionate about the pro-life movement and culture of life, that is going to be extremely helpful. And someone who does like to go outside their comfort zone and who likes to talk to people, and also someone who doesn't mind just staying home sometimes throughout the week and just being alone, working on your computer, and you know, someone who's okay with that. I think passionate, charismatic, those would be definite things that would be helpful in this job.
I feel like people who like the values of, it's a lighthearted, it's a hopeful, it's a fun, you're with college kids and Gen Z, and it's just, there's a certain amount of goofiness to it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know you're older. I put that in air quotes. You're in your 30s. I mean, for the 18-year-olds we work with, you practically retired. They're funny. How's that been? Like, do you feel like you still pass as a college kid when you're on campus?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you ever why are their meetings so late?
No, I think on the college campus, I definitely pass as a college student because, I mean, you can dress as a college student and, you know, and I have a young face. So that's is to my benefit for this job. But yeah, I mean, the 9 o'clock meetings took some adjusting. You know, I do go to bed somewhat early. So yeah, that took some adjusting. But now it's like, it's just, you know, it's part of the job. And I can take a nap during the day. So yeah, you just make it work. And I would say flexibility is definitely a key to surviving in this job.
I feel like you also have to be pretty self-motivated. Because you have goals of like, okay, I'm trying to get this many presentations, I'm trying to get this many students trained, you know, but like there is a lot of like you kind of set your own schedule. And obviously, like I'm meeting with you, I'm managing you, I'm holding you accountable, but like I'm not watching you. Like if you're like the type of person, you're like, oh, I need, you know, my employer to be like the desk over checking in on me. I feel like you've got to have a certain amount of internal motivation, which is what I really like about you, Connie, because you have great work ethic. I do not worry about you slacking off. I'm like, I know you're out there doing the work. If you're self-motivated and you like that flexibility and you like people, I think this would be a really good fit. I don't know. I didn't write this down, but anybody you think would not be a good fit for the job?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I sent her my questions ahead of time and then I was like, I'll probably just say whatever. So don't get too emotionally attached to them. Flexibility. Yeah. You get interviewed by your boss.
Flexibility is important. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking of like certain friends that I have that I'm like, they would not even like this job. They enjoy just sitting at the computer all day and doing like office work and
routine, maybe more.
Routine. Yeah. And not flexibility. And they like the 8 to 5 and they want to be done by 5. They don't want to have to worry about working on a Saturday or Sunday and or working at 9 p.m. So I'd say if you're more of like that type of person, then this job would probably be difficult for you. And we're also kind of a startup company. And so I actually love that about this job, that some of it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to try this and see if it works. I love that. I thrive off of that. But if that causes you a lot of stress, I would say that would be a challenge in this job for you. Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those, like, we're going to figure it out and this is going to be option A and then we'll make it better afterwards. So you do have to, I think, be able to hang with that. But it is very much an entry level job. We train you really extensively. You're not going to have any work experience that's going to make you qualified to go out and persuade pro-choice people, you know? In fact, sometimes I actually don't want you to have any apologetics experience because I want you to learn our methodology. So if you've got like a ton of experience, like doing things a particular way, that's a detriment. So I don't know if you saw that and you were like, oh, I've never like done pro-life apologetics, so maybe I'm not qualified, when I was like, oh, that's great, because that means you don't have any bad habits that I have to untrain you in.
I remember when you told me that you preferred I didn't have experience, and I was like, okay, this is the only job that I and my boss has ever said I want you to have no experience.
I do.
I was like, this is the job for me, because I have no experience in this, you know. So that was encouraging for me. But yeah, the training, I mean, I would say took five four or five months before I felt fully able to do this job on my own. I felt like it was an appropriate level of kind of you holding my hand, if you will, and then letting me, like, backing off. Now that I know it, it's just this kind of second nature now.
Yeah, I just, like, you got the right attitude. You're good at public speaking. I'll teach you everything else. That's kind of my attitude. And yeah, and it is, I feel like the onboarding process, like the first 90 days in particular, like there's just a lot that you're learning. And my goal is like to really front load that and really train you really well. So you feel very confident in the job and you're just kind of out there and you're just doing it. And it's just kind of rinse and repeat at that point. So for anyone who's wanting to apply for this position, this programs coordinator position, regardless of if it's for this current Arizona region that we're hiring for or another region, we will bring you to headquarters, which at the time we're filming this is Omaha, Nebraska. I'm assuming it'll continue to be Omaha, Nebraska. We'll bring you here for about 2 months in the summer, provide the housing and everything you need, and just train you really intensely in person with me how to do this job before we then send you out in August to your actual final location, which is where you'll go out and you'll actually do the work. I think I had one more question. Oh, I was asked this question by a candidate once, and it's now my favorite question I've ever been asked in all of my interviewing of people, which is, if you were me, why would you want this job? And I also love that I got asked that question because I'm really good at sales. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to sell this job really well. So I'm curious for how you would answer it, Connie. And then I'll tell you what I said to the candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that question too. I would say because every day is different. You get to meet so many wonderful, wonderful people and you just get to have wonderful conversations across the board, no matter where you're at. I feel like I'm inspired every week by seeing people's wheels turn in their head and trying to figure this issue out. Yeah, this job is just a thrill in so many ways. I mean, saving souls, saving babies, saving lives.
I said actually pretty similar things to you. I'm like, one, you're working with really cool people. Like, yep. I think that'll continue to be true because I just think the type of people I'm going to hire, your coworkers, they're just going to be cool. You're cool. The college kids are super cool. The donors are cool. They're just wonderful people. They've got big hearts. They really care about unborn babies. And it's just, I think that's just really fun about it. It's meaningful work was the other thing I said, because I feel like so many jobs, you know, like you're just trying to make Pepsi more money or, you know, you're just putting in your data, you're doing your accounting, whatever it is. Yep. But like with this work, it's like you're changing hearts and minds on this life and death issue. You're doing something that like matters. It's meaningful. It works, which is exciting. You know, you get to see progress. Sometimes I think we can get even desensitized to the progress because we're like, I just persuaded five that time. It wasn't that great, which cracks me up. I love the flexibility too. You know, the flexible hours. I actually said this to the candidate. I'm like, I think I'm a pretty good boss too, which I don't know if you're allowed. I'm like, I think I am though. So like, and it's fun. Yeah, it is. It is a really fun job, I think. So I think for the right person, it's definitely like a dream job. So if you're considering applying or you're curious what positions we have open currently, like I said at the beginning, in the very intro, our goal is to hire 51 locations. So yeah, so you can go to our website at www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/careers and you can check out locations we are currently hiring for. And I encourage people to apply and to continue to check back. I will post bonus episodes on the podcast every time we're hiring just to notify you as well. So make sure that you've got, you know, subscribe to our podcast if we're a company that you're really interested in working for. But yeah, do apply. If God's calling you to this work, we'd love for you to join our team. Any final things you want to say, Connie, to your potential future coworkers that might be recruited from listening to you talk about this position?
Well, currently I only have my boss as my coworker, so I would love for you to apply and meet you.
Please bring Connie friends that are not me. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Connie. You've got campus outreach now, so you're meeting with a student. This is a new volunteer? New volunteer. Okay. First time out?
A second.
Okay. Well, he persuaded someone his first time out, didn't he?
I think he did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's so fun. So fun. Yep. Okay. Well, I'll let you get out on campus because I know you've got to go, but thank you for being on the podcast. And once again, if you're interested in this position, the Arizona Programs Coordinator position, or any Programs Coordinator positions with us, go ahead and check us out at www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/careers. If you liked today's episode, you can help support the channel by leaving us a 5-star review. Make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. And if you haven't yet, sign up for our podcast email list on our website. That's www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/podcast. That way you get all the training exercises from the show delivered right to your inbox. Now I will see all of you next Saturday as I continue to teach you how you can persuade someone to be pro-life in 7 minutes. Until next week, God bless.